This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi hadana lihada wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Wa ma tawfiquna wala i'tisamuna illa billah. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون اللهم إنا نشهد أنه بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله به الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين فجه اللهم عنا خير ما جزيت به نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته وصلى اللهم عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وارض اللهم عن جميع الصحابة والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا معنا شقيا ولا مطرودا ولا محروما اللهم لا تدع لنا في هذا اليوم العظيم ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا كربا إلا نفسته ولا مظلوما إلا نصرته ولا حاجة لك فيها رضا وهي لنا خير إلا قضيتها يا رب العالمين عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله وأحثكم على طاعته وامتثال أوامره واجتناب نواهيه وأستفتح بالذي هو خير. Dear beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we just passed through the most precious and the most blessed part of the year, month of the year, and that is the month of Ramadan. And this month is worth to stop and reflect after we finish the worship, the qiyam, the siyam, the Quran of this month, to reflect back on our deed, on what has been achieved, and what we gained out of the month of Ramadan. And what would be the proper way to give our farewell to this great season Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to us every year. Some of the adab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us when we finish a great ibadah is to actually finish it with istighfar, with asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness for our shortcomings, for our taqseer, for the things that we could have done better, but we did not do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness because what we have done is not worthy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's place in majesty, azza wa ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness because maybe during our fasting we committed sins. We slipped here and there. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anh narrated that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the siyam, Al-ghaybatu tahriqu siyam wal-istighfaru yuraqi'u. That backbiting, that sometimes the talk that we may not pay much attention to, burns the siyam. All that siyam that we worked hard for, it gets burned by words that we utter. But then he said, وَالِاسْتِغْفَارُ يُرَقِّعُ. And it can get patched by istighfar, by asking Allah's forgiveness. And then he said, فَمَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ أَنْ يَأْتِ بِصِيَامٍ مُرَقَّعٍ فَلْيَفْعَلْ. So whomever can patch up their siyam, let them do that. It's the best to never go into ghiba. But istighfar, we don't know what we slipped through. We don't know what we have done. We don't know our shortcomings. And that was the way of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim. They were more concerned about the acceptance of their deeds when they do them than doing the deeds itself. Because they were diligent, they were always keen on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they had, as Salaf al-Salih, Ridwanullahi alayhim, they had a special attention, special caring for the acceptance of the deed. قَبُولِ الْعَمَلِ Allah says, يُؤْتُونَ مَا أَتَى وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلًا Allah praised those who do their good deeds and their hearts are trembling. Their hearts are fearful that they might not be accepted. We should never take it for granted that what we do is accepted. We ask, we hope with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We always have amal and raja with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will accept. And Allah will accept from al-saliheen. Allah will accept from al-muttaqeen. Allah will accept from al-mukhliseen. But we, in our own hearts, we should not take it for granted. When we do the deeds, we should be aware and diligent. So our ikhlas is at its highest level. So we do the deeds in the best way. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ Indeed, Allah will accept from those who have taqwa. And then, as we finish the month, Allah taught us what to do at the end of Ramadan. Allah says, وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةِ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ Two things Allah said that you do at the end of this month. Dhikrullah, the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah. During the month, our tongues, our hearts were diligent. We were always mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, day and night. Our bodies were in the masajid, our hearts were in the masajid. The Qur'an was on our tongue and in our ears all month long. And then something gets turned off. Allah says, when you finish the counting of Ramadan, when you finish that month, لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ That's why the Eid starts with the takbir. Starts with dhikr Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ And then we give thanks. We give hamd, we give gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him for making us Muslims. We thank Him for giving our hearts tawheed. We thank Him for guiding us to fasting Ramadan. We thank Him for qiyam Ramadan. We thank Him for making us alive, for giving us life into this Ramadan. And we also pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us life for many Ramadans to come, inshaAllah. So we continue our ibadah and improve our ibadah. وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you thank me, I will give you more. So you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this Ramadan, Allah will give you more Ramadans. We have to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the gift of Ramadan. For the gift of ibadah in Ramadan. For the gift that He allowed us to come here or other masajid to stand before Him in qiyam. To hear the Quran and recite the Quran during that month. To fast, to observe that great ibadah, that great worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bounty. This is His favor upon us. We don't have favor upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we observed the fast and we stood in qiyam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِسْلَامِ They think, and here Allah subhanahu is speaking about some of the munafiqeen, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ and some of the Arab, and he would say, They think that they are doing you a favor, that they are Muslims. Allah has done them a favor by guiding them to Islam. بَلِلَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ For Iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for that tawheed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our heart. And for that, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that, we give Him hamd. And that's why we say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana li hadha. وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ So, we ask ourselves at the end of this month, as we bid farewell and long for the next one, did we benefit from Ramadan? Did Ramadan leave us with anything? Or we just opened a page and we just closed the book and turned the page and moved on to another month and back to our routine? The scholars, rahimahumullah, they place certain criteria and certain scales where we, each and every one of us, can measure and see if we benefited from Ramadan. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى If you are training for, let's say, a race, you have a scale, you have a timer. You know if you can either swim that distance or run that distance at a certain time, and then you, at the end of the training, you see if you improved, if you've gotten better, and so on and so forth. But what are the scales of Ramadan? How do we know? How do we know for ourselves that we benefited, that we have gotten better during the month of Ramadan, that Ramadan elevated us, that Ramadan lifted us up, that we are at a different maqam, at a different station after Ramadan than we were before Ramadan? The ulama said there's three different criteria, the three different scales. And of course, there's difference of opinion, but these three different scales are easy to apply and easy to understand for each and every one of us. The first one is the scale of tawbah, the scale of repentance, the scale of coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do they mean by that? كل ابن آدم خطاء. Each child of Adam, each son and daughter of Adam, each one of us have sins. This is a fact. كبائر أو صغائر. Could be enormities, والعياذ بالله نسأل الله العافية. Or it could be small sins. Things that we have shortcomings. Things that we don't do well. And Ramadan is the season for tawbah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ So in Ramadan, most of us have done things and quit things and abandoned things that maybe we have done before Ramadan. We have things that we do, there were shortcomings, and we said, we aren't going to try hard during those 30 days or 29 days of Ramadan, not to do them. We're going to abandon this vain talk. We're going to abandon wasting time. We're going to abandon running our tongue for people's, and about people, غَيْبَ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Or I'm going to do better. I'm going to do my sunan. I'm going to do daily Quran that I have not done for a while. Whatever that is, we do better during that month. Each one of us have a higher level in Ramadan. We all feel that. If that level of tawbah carries on to after Ramadan, then we have benefited from Ramadan. If we returned right back to exactly what we were doing before Ramadan, then we have not benefited in that scale from the month of Ramadan. That is one of the scales. That each one of us, every Ramadan, we should improve and we should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should have sins that we will abandon forever before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second scale is the one, probably the most important scales of benefit during the month of Ramadan. And that is a scale that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified very clearly in ayat al-siyam, in the verses of siyam in Surah Al-Baqarah 183. When Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Oh, you who believe, fasting of Ramadan, of course, fasting has been ordained, has been obligated upon you, just like those who before you. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That you might achieve taqwa. Allah says that's the goal. That's the objective of your siyam. Is to have taqwa. Is to increase your taqwa. Is to go higher up in the taqwa before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the most important skill probably of siyam, if we benefited from siyam, is do I have more taqwa now than I did before Ramadan? Do I have more taqwa now in Shawwal than I did in Sha'ban? What is taqwa? How do I measure that? Taqwa is measurable only by how our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like. And how we look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's observation upon us in every single act that we do. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he wanted to define it, he said, and he pointed at his chest with both hands. He said, At-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna. Taqwa is right here. Taqwa is in the heart. No one can see your taqwa. Taqwa is not a garment that we put on. It's not a clothes that we wear. It's not a behavior that we put on. It's a heart. It's an act of the heart. And there are many definitions and details of what taqwa is like. One of the most beautiful ones is how Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu defined it. He said, At-taqwa هي الخوف من الجليل والعمل بالتنزيل والرضا بالقليل والاستعداد ليوم الرحيل. He said there are four things about taqwa. If they're achieved, you have achieved taqwa. First, الخوف من الجليل. Fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The All Majesty, subhanahu. To have the fear of Allah. The essence of the word taqwa is to shield. Taqwa. To shield ourselves from the anger, the wrath, and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by obeying Him. By observing every act we do before Allah. Al-khawf min al-jaleel. Wal-amalu bit-tanzeel. And to follow at-tanzeel. At-tanzeel is two things. Al-Quran wa sunnah. To follow the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Taqullaha mastata'tum. Allah says in the Quran. Ittaqullah. Follow that as much as you can. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Warrida bilqaleel. To have a state of content, to have a state of satisfaction, pleasure with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever He has given us, as far as health, as far as wealth, as far as children, as far as whatever, we are happy because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided, that is good for us. And we are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's choice. We are pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted for us. We are عبيد الرضا ولسنا عبيد السخط. Even if what we are given is little in our own eyes, but we are happy with it. That's part of taqwa. رضا العبد عن ربه والرضا بالقليل. And the fourth one, والاستعداد ليوم الرحيل. المتقي, the person who have taqwa, is always prepared for departure. The person who have taqwa in their heart, always packed their bags of dunya and ready to leave anytime. Because this life can end at any time, wallahi, brothers and sisters. No one knows. No one knows what would happen. And al-muttaqi is aware of that fact. Al-muttaqi has that fact in front of his eyes or her eyes, day and night. That this prayer could be my last prayer. This Ramadan could be my last Ramadan. This charity that I paid could be the last opportunity for me to pay a charity. So that's when they do what they're doing. They do it diligently and sincerely. And they do it with enthusiasm. And do it with, subhanAllah, with great love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The final scale is the scale of istiqamah. Is istiqamah on the straight path. Is when we do all of that, when we elevate our taqwa, when we repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to hold steady. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. That we have to hold steady on that path. We have to continue. To be on that, to start on that path is one thing, but to actually hold steady and stay on that path is another thing. That takes a special iman. That takes a special aqidah. That takes a special diligence from the Muslim. Al-istiqamah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have istiqamah will give them a lot of pleasure, will give them a lot of support in this dunya at the time of death and when they are resurrected. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be of them. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فيا فوز المستغفرين. Come forward, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear brothers and sisters, I would leave you with a very short story of the Quran, probably one of the shortest stories of the Quran, but it's highly relevant to our month of Quran, to our month of Ramadan. It is a very important story and very critical story in Surah Al-A'raf. And it's recited and it's narrated in only two ayahs. And that's the story of one of the ulama of Bani Israel whose name is not mentioned. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them ilm, gave him ilm and gave him the book. And in that story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we have to contemplate and ponder upon it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا. Tell them, recite, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the story, the news of that person that we gave our ayat to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the book, just like someone who has been given the Quran, given the ilm. This was known to be a alim. الذي آتيناه آياتنا. So what happened? Allah says فانسلخ منها. He shed it off. And the word was انسلاخ in the Arabic. To shed something off is just like when the python, the snake, sheds off its skin. And subhanAllah, that is very descriptive of the state of that person. نسأل الله العافية. Because Allah gave him that ilm and that Quran and the knowledge. And Allah gave him everything that a person need to be so high up and so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he did not let it be deeper than his skin deep. This was so easy for him to shed off. Why? Because it was not deep in his heart. No one can shed off something that is deep in the heart. But if it is only to the skin, if it's only superficial, then it's easy to take off. And that's what happened with this person. He was taking this knowledge, but keeping it out there. Keeping it on the surface and not getting it in. فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. And he followed the shaitan. And he was one of the people who went astray. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Allah says, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا. And if Allah wills, He would be elevated with these ayat. He had everything to be high, to be in أَعْلَى عِلِّيِّينَ, to be close مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. But what did he choose? وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. He decided to stay close to the earth, close down to the ard. Just like that snake that stays down there on the bottom and followed his own desires. And then Allah gives an example of that person who follows the dunya, who follows the ornamentation, the desires of this life. And He said, فَمَثَلُهُ كَالْكَلْبِ. His example is like a rabid, breathless, restless dog. And this is a picture the Sahaba, the Arab, knew very well of that dog. What kind of dog the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about in the Quran. That panting dog that can never get any rest. Always breathless. Allah says, إِن تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْهَثْ أَوْ تَتْرُكْهُ يَلْهَثْ. If you try to push that dog away and try to attack the dog just to keep him away from you, he's panting and he's restless. And even if you leave that dog away, alone, that dog continues to be restless and panting. That dog will never know any rest. Will never be happy. Will never be satiated. Will never be satisfied. Because he left ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He shed off the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ مَثَلُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. Brothers and sisters, this is relevant because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us gifts during the month of Ramadan. We have to ask ourselves, are we going to shed that off after Ramadan? Are we going to leave that behind after Ramadan? Or are we going to let that go sink that deep inside of us where it could be unsheddable, where we will not be able to ever shed that off? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep the gifts of our Ramadan inside our hearts, deep inside. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep the benefits of Ramadan in our hearts, to keep the Quran that we recited in Ramadan, not just on our tongues, but deep in our heart, to give us the understanding of the Quran, to teach us more of His words, and more of the wisdom, and more of the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا، وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، واجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم توفنا مسلمين وأحينا مسلمين وألحقنا بالصالحين غير خزايا ولا مفتونين. اللهم أخلفنا في رمضان بخير. اللهم اجبر كسرنا وارحم ضعفنا واجعل رمضان راحلا بذنوبنا يا رب العالمين. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات المسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك يا مولانا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. عباد الله إن الله قد أمرنا بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وقال تعالى ولم يزل قائلا عليما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة.